Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Already in Mark chapter 2, Jesus is starting to get on the bad side of the religious leaders, the elite of the religious system, the Pharisees and the scribes, who are often called the teachers of the law of Moses. And in our first passage, the one that I was talking to the kids about, Jesus essentially equates himself with God by forgiving the sins of this man, and that kind of irks the Pharisees a little bit. And then in our portion for today, Jesus is questioned because of the company he keeps. And already by Mark chapter 3, in the next verses after what we read, the Pharisees are so bothered by Jesus that they're already in chapter 3 plotting on how to destroy Jesus. They're already planning and figuring out how they can put this man to death. It doesn't take long for Jesus to get on their bad side. And so in our passage for today, Jesus is teaching. And as he's teaching, he's kind of traveling around. And while he travels, he sees a man named Levi. Now, a little bit about Levi. In other Gospels, Levi is named Matthew. He apparently goes by both names. In fact, he's the one that we attribute the Gospel of Matthew to. Now, Levi is a tax collector. And tax collectors at this time were viewed very poorly. They were viewed as traitorous thieves to the rest of their countrymen. And the reason for that is because they were essentially hired by the governing authorities to collect taxes. And the way they went about this is they would go to the governing authorities, in this case probably Herod, and they would bid for the right to collect taxes. And the highest bidder would be the one that would become the tax gatherer or tax collector for a particular area. The way that they made money on their bid was by collecting above and beyond the taxes that people owed. And the taxes people owed was ridiculous. They were taxed far more than we are. And so these men were essentially dishonest. They were greedy people, and they were hated by others because they were looked at as traitors, and they were abusers of their power. But Jesus, as he's going around, looks at Levi, and he says to Levi, "Follow me." And Levi can't help but hear and obey the word of Christ. And so he leaves his tax booth, where there's probably all sorts of money sitting there, and he just starts following Christ. And in Mark, people who follow Christ are people who are hearing his word to repent and believe. And so it's safe to assume here that Levi, as he's following Jesus, has begun a journey of repentance and of belief in Jesus. And his belief in Jesus is limited because Jesus hasn't yet died on the cross and been raised from the dead, but he understands Jesus to be something big. And so he's repenting and he's believing in Christ. He follows Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus does after Levi follows him is he goes to his house and they have a big meal. And at this meal, we understand that there's other tax collectors there and what Mark describes as sinners. Sinners are gathering at table with Levi and Jesus and his disciples. And it's this that really irks the scribes and the Pharisees, the company that Jesus is keeping. Now, we already talked about what tax collectors are. In the Gospel of Matthew and in Mark, you often see this phrase together, tax collectors and sinners. And in this case, sinners is not just your average sinner. It's those people who are very flagrantly disobeying the law of God. Oftentimes in this category, we would put prostitutes in this category, people who are publicly violating God's law. It is obvious that they are sinners. Their sin is out there in front of everybody. They are often also viewed as unclean. But key here is that Mark tells us that these are now followers of Jesus, that these tax collectors and sinners have begun a journey of repentance and belief in Jesus, and Jesus is eating with them. And as I said, the Pharisees are scandalized by this. Because, and I think this is true of most cultures, but especially true of this Middle Eastern culture, to eat with another person was to be in fellowship with that other person, to be a friend with that person, to signify acceptance and welcome, camaraderie, agreement with who you're sitting with at table. And this scandalizes the Pharisees. I think a good illustration of this is when a team wins a championship, like the Bison did for the eighth time. When a team wins a championship, what often happens? They're invited by the president to come and visit him at the White House, to see the White House, and I assume that in there's also a meal that takes place. In recent years, and this isn't just with President Trump, it was with President Obama too, but it's becoming more prevalent, teams and individuals are refusing that invitation to the White House. And the reason they're refusing that invitation is because they don't want to be identified with the policies or the politics or the behavior of the person who has invited them there. They don't want to be associated with something that the White House represents. And so they refuse that invitation. This is what the scribes would do. The scribes, if the tax collectors and sinners had invited the scribes and the Pharisees to come and eat with them, they would refuse because they don't want to be associated with these tax collectors, these traitors of the country, and these flagrant sinners. They don't want to be associated with them, so they would refuse such an invitation. But the scribes are scandalized because Jesus sits and eats with them. He sits and has fellowship with them. They are all at table together. How could Jesus, this miracle worker who claims to have the authority of God himself, who teaches and preaches with authority, associate himself with such people? And Jesus hears this. And he answers them. And he says, healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. In other translations, Jesus will say, I didn't come for the righteous. I came to call sinners. Jesus is a physician. And he doesn't want anything to do with healthy people. He came for the sick. Now, there's a catch here. And the catch is that earlier in Mark's gospel and throughout the gospels, Jesus extends a call to repent and to believe to everyone. And the implication there, then, is that everyone is in need of this call. And if everyone is in need of this call, then everyone is sick. And everyone is a sinner. And the problem is that these doggone Pharisees don't see themselves that way. They see themselves only as being healthy and fine people. Most of us will want to put ourselves in one of two categories. The first category we might want to put ourselves in is the same one as the Pharisees. We see ourselves as healthy. We're good. We're just fine. We don't have need of a doctor. We don't have need of Jesus. The other category we might put ourselves into is the complete opposite. I'm too sick. I'm too much of a sinner. There's nothing that anybody could do for me. I'm too far gone. Why go see a doctor? There's nothing he'd be able to do. What we need to hear from this passage, though, is that we need to stop pretending that we are so healthy and fine and good that we don't need the great physician who is Jesus Christ. That we are doing just well on our own. That we don't need the doctor. But the truth is, we do. The call has come to everyone. Everyone is a sinner. We all need Jesus. We also need to hear that there is no way that any of us could be so far gone that Jesus couldn't do something for us as well. What we need to hear from this is that you and I are as sick as anybody else, and that we need to hear the call of Jesus to come and sit with him at the table, to sit amongst tax collectors, to sit amongst sinners, to hear the word of Christ, which is to repent, believe, and follow me, and know that that is a word for us, no matter where we are. We want to be like the tax collectors and the sinners that are sitting with Jesus, the people like Levi, the prostitutes, all those who are on the margins of society and are just the worst of the worst, and know that Jesus has come for them and he has come for you and I, that we are sick and in need of a physician, and we have one who heals, who can and does have the authority to forgive sins. Jesus has come for you. He has called you. He has invited you. He has welcomed you. And by the strength and authority of his word and his word alone, you follow him and begin the journey and continue on the journey of transformation, of repentance, and belief. He came for sinners, of which you and I are a part. Let us pray. O gracious, most merciful Savior, we thank you that you have come to call sinners. Help us to realize that that's exactly who we are, and that you have, and you alone, have the forgiveness, the mercy, and the healing that we need. Bring us ever before you and your presence, to come before your table, to eat and dine with you and of you, that we might have your forgiveness, your grace, and lead us ever to follow more closely in your footsteps. We pray this in your name. Amen.